There is no doubt we are witnessing the systematic redefinition of biblical values and the elimination of Christian influence from our culture. Religious convictions, especially on the subjects of marriage and life, are touted as the new sins of modern America. And standing on those convictions will cost you something. Ever increasingly, this means inside the church as well. Imagine if all the airline pilots decided they no longer needed the guidance of control towers and air traffic controllers. They declare that the entire system we have used to fly safely for decades is now unnecessary and outdated. The pilots decide they want to go in their own way, choose for themselves, and chart their own course. Tragic crashes would take place all over the country. While the pilots might have fun for a while, lives would be devastated as a result, and soon flying would be rendered dangerous and useless. The desire for individual freedom from structure would destroy our ability to fly. Who would want to risk their lives in a completely unaccountable sky? God is the one who enabled America to become great. His word has been our control tower, inspiring our founding principles and navigating our historical flight pattern. But now we consider his rules unnecessary and outdated. We want to fly where we want, when we want, in a completely unaccountable sky. We have progressively forgotten the unseen hand that has lifted us to great heights as a nation. We have grown weary of his moral constraints and repulsed by his sovereign rule, so we cut off the radio to the tower and ignore the flight instructions. In essence, we've become our own gods, doing what is right in our own eyes. A quick glimpse of history reveals how we have steadily shut off all communication with the tower, just to name a few Supreme Court cases. 1962, Engel v. Vitell, prayer removed from school. 1963, Abington School District versus Shemp, Bible reading expelled from school. 1973, Roe versus Wade, abortion legalized. 1980, Stone versus Graham, posting of Ten Commandments removed from schools. 1992, Casey versus Planned Parenthood, humans, not God, define life. 2015, Obergefell versus Hodges, marriage redefined. What God calls depraved, our culture now calls diversity. What God calls blessed, our culture calls bigoted. The words of the prophets are stinging us again with an eerie modern relevance. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Isaiah 5:20. Here's a principle. The same rising tide of evil that makes cowards run makes champions rise. In 2015, Dr. James Dobson wrote, "I do not recall a time when the institutions of marriage and the family have faced such peril, or when the forces arrayed against them were more formidable or determined." When asked what the final years of the 20th century looked like for the church in America, Dr. Elton Trueblood, born in 1900 and former chaplain for Harvard and Stanford universities, responded, "By the year 2000, Christians will be a conscious minority surrounded by an arrogant, militant paganism." What prophetic words. But while these seem to be coming true in our day, this is certainly no time to shrink back in defeat. Precisely when the stakes are high and the game is on the line is when champions play their best. That time is now. We need overcomers like Daniel to arise once again in our nation, people of a different spirit, gripped by an eternal perspective and willing to live with conviction, commitment, and courage, whatever the cost. Leonard Ravenhill commented on Trueblood's prophetic words. The early church was walled in on one side with the mightiest military machine in history, the power of Rome. It was walled in on the other side with Greek intellectualism. It was blocked ahead by the monopoly the Jews thought they had on God. Those men who turned the world upside down had no colossal intellectual capacity, no great financial backing, no social standing. They were about the most despised men in and around Jerusalem. And yet they broke out somehow. And later it was said that they turned the world upside down. Mercy on America. But if the people of that nation stop doing the evil they have done, I will change my mind and not carry out my plans to bring disaster on them. Jeremiah 18:8. God longs to have mercy on America. He is filled with compassion and kindness, wanting to turn us back to Him. But we have to confess we've rejected God, and until then, He will not pour out His mercy on us. See 2 Chronicles 7:14. Here's a principle. God's love is unconditional, but God's mercy is conditioned upon our repentance. Our actions have left us to the wiles of the enemy, the one who seeks to rob, kill, and destroy. John 10:10.